We'd like to greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. It's an honor to be here this morning. I have a lot of memories here in this church, because we were ordained in this room here this 12 years ago. It's hard to believe. But as I was thinking about sharing this morning, I'd like to first of all greet you in Shalom Bible Fellowship as well. As I was listening to your singing and your gathering this way, I feel like we have a lot of kindred spirit. It impresses me a lot. I'd like to say this, that this morning, I'm not going to say anything that's new to you. You all have history of reading your Bible and knowing the truth and living the Bible. So I'm not really going to be sharing anything new to you. But I would like to hopefully stir your pure minds in a way that will motivate you to a closer walk with God. So I think before we go any further, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning to ask you to bless this message. We pray, Father, that as your word is shared, as truth is shared, that it will penetrate into each one's heart so that they would be, everyone here, every person who will be listening would be drawn closer to you. We especially pray, Father, that your Spirit would direct the truths that are shared so that each one of us would then become more like Christ in every way. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. As I thought about being here at Harmony, I like the name Harmony. From the standpoint, I think Harmony says that a person who has the ability to get along well with others and maintain a peaceful relationship. I think that's what harmony is all about. And I sense that just by the interaction that I've had with a few of you already, and I am blessed by that. But as you know, that as I share, I usually like to use acronyms. I'm an acronym person. And this past week, my mind was drawn to the acronym of Harmony. And this is not my message, but I'd like you to think about this as you congregate on a regular basis, that what makes Harmony special? What makes Harmony great? And so I would like just to go over your letters of Harmony. If you all express true harmony, the first thing you're going to have is H. You're going to have humility. And the reason I say that is I've lived long enough to know that there are people who have come into churches who have been called to servanthood and has gone to their head, and they became proud. And God hates pride. So if you have a brotherhood, want to be able to have peace and harmonize one to another, you have to be humble. And I want God to bless you in that. Letter A, and that is, if you want to have a harmonious church, you're going to always need to put God first. Always put God first. We were blessed by having Abner Kaufman as a member of our congregation, and I miss him to this day. But he, in different brothers' meetings, we would be discussing things, and he would say, well, what does God think about this? And it was so true. He was wanting to put God first. And if, as a congregation, if you want to go forward and harmonize, you need to always put God first in everything, in all your decisions. and are. If you want a congregation that's going to harmonize, you need to respect one another. And when I say respect one another, that means be kind, be charitable, be courteous. That's going to help blend the congregation. Then M, if the congregation wants to go forward, you're going to need moral integrity. And that is by being honest. I'm not sure if I ever shared this here before, but when my wife and I lost a son, for 3 months it was a challenge. And I asked God every day, what do you want to teach me? And he taught me these three words, and that is be honest, be humble, and be holy. And I feel that if every one of us here would live by those three words, we would live in a different world. So be honest, have moral integrity. Oh, if you want to go forward as a congregation, you need to be obedient to the truth. Be obedient to the truth. And that doesn't mean saying it, but living it. You need to live the truth. And that way you can be the light and the salt to the community you're part of. And I have written down here, if you want to be harmonious, you must have newness of life. You must be born again. You must, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature. The old man is put away, and all things become new. And last but not least, why? If you want to be an asset and be harmonious, you need to continually yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And I like to bless you as a congregation as you live out that acronym. And if you live truly that acronym, God will bless you. And that's my desire for you. This morning, this is the first Sunday of a new year. And we have a lot of people who make New Year's resolutions. A person makes a promise to make a positive change in their life, or a habit, or a new schedule, or whatever. And the interesting thing about those New Year's resolutions, I think on the average, after 2 weeks, a large portion are gone, and after a month, I think 90% have lost it. And I'm not here to say that goals and schedules are not good. They are good. But I think it's more important to remember this, and that is looking back to what we've come through. And when I say that, we need to remember what God has done for us. I think about that this past year. And that is the prayers that have been answered, the people that have been healed, the open doors that have come, just his orchestrating our lives in a way that are beyond us. I have made it a practice about a year ago to, during my time with God, I shared a message one time on Lord, L-O-R-D. You know he's your Lord because he's your leader, he's your orchestrator, he's your redeemer, and he's your deliverer. And from that day forward, it struck me that I was preaching to myself, and I asked God to orchestrate my day. And I would challenge you to do that, because you would be amazed at how things change in your life, how things just fit together. It is amazing, at least for me. I've experienced that. So I'm remembering what God has done. And the other thing is remembering the victories that God has given you. In other words, and the other thing you might want to think about is the valleys you've gone through. And this might sound a little strange, but there's a purpose for everything that happens in your life. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks. And it's a challenge when we go through a valley to thank God for it. But the purpose of that valley, a lot of times is to make you a better person, is to draw you closer to God. So we want to remember. And the thing is, God wants us to move forward, but he knows that we are very forgetful creatures. I have done this in our congregation where I, from one Sunday, we're sharing, and next Sunday, I might be a moderator or something, and I asked the question, and I wasn't here last Sunday, but who preached last Sunday? And what did he preach on? And they're simple questions, but it's amazing how many people don't know. And that is just what I'm trying to help you see is how forgetful we are. And that's why I think, I think about it when we have communion every fifth Sunday. And the purpose of the communion is to remember, to help us remember. And God knew that we are forgetful creatures. That's why he wants us to remember. So I challenge you to remember what God has done for you. In Deuteronomy, it says, remember how the Lord has led you, talking about the children of Israel. And in Psalms 103, it's, I think I have that here. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's we do not want to forget. And in Psalm 77, it says, I will remember thy works, O Lord. And in Psalms 90, so teach me to number my days, which I like to suggest to the chorister, number 723 for a closing song. Because that song is one of my favorites, and I was glad you had it in your book. We don't have that your book at Shalom. We have three other books, but we don't have that one distributed. So if you could lead that as a closing song, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, I would like to encourage everyone this week to take time to remember what God has done for you. And as a teacher, I like to get visuals. And they say, a teacher told me, it was an older, actually a sister in our congregation from way back. She was a school teacher, and she said, the more senses you can activate, the more there is to, it'll be remembered. And I am thankful I'm seeing people writing here, which I like, I'm glad. But there's also the visual, it's the hearing, and also the speaking. The more you can get your senses involved, the better. So I like to challenge you when this week sometime, when you get home, write down what God has done for you this past year. And, thank God for it. Even though it might be a valley, even though it might be a heartache, thank God because, number one, he loves you. He has a purpose for everything that comes into your life. So, that's my intro. What I'd like to talk about this morning is a simple word. And we're going to read Ecclesiastes, just a few verses here, eight verses, Ecclesiastes 3. You can turn to that if you want to. Just for a springboard, and that is, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. This morning, I like to look at time. It's very simple. But I'm also, I want to help you understand that the importance of time. First of all, we know that time is temporal. In other words, it's short. It's in James 4:14, it says, life is a vapor. It just disappears. I was made to think of that when I was a teenager. I would look at these old men, or listen to these old men, and they would say, oh, how fast time goes. Oh, it just disappeared, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you're an old man or something. You know, something didn't make sense. But now I am there as an older man, and I'm like, wow, time is going so fast. And I like to illustrate it a little bit. Time is like this. It's your life. And every year is a slice in your pie. And as you get older, those slices get smaller. And so you understand from our perspective as older people, a year is like, boom, just a little bit of a blip. In comparison, you know, when you were 2, that's only 2 slices. You know, when you're 10, it's only 10 slices. In other words, you understand what I'm trying to say. So bear with us as we are maturing, that every year goes faster. Anyway, the other thing about time, and that is, it's important. It's very important. I would like you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the responsibility of God's children, to live this out. And one of the things is redeeming the time, because time is so important. The other thing is, I'm not sure I spelled that right. No, it didn't. It's marvelous. Our time is marvelous, and it's a gift from God. And those that know me, you can ask Leonard, but if I call him, I thank God for every day. And today it's Sunday, so I thank God for Sunday. But it's amazing when I meet somebody or talk to somebody on the phone and it's Monday. I say, thank God it's Monday. I was talking to a businessman one time and on the phone, and I said, well, thank God it's, and he said, how are you? I said, thank God it's Monday. And the phone got silent. And then he said, did you have a bad weekend? I said, no, I didn't have a bad weekend. I said, I thank God for Monday. And I'm going to tell you this story, not to distract you too much, but 3 years ago in December, my sister-in-law passed away. 3 weeks later, my mother-in-law passed away. 3 weeks later, my brother-in-law passed away. They all died on a Monday. And it struck me when my brother-in-law passed away, at the time we ate, I said, this got to stop. And it did, thankfully. But what I'm trying to say is time is short. Time is precious. And we need to thank God for everything because time is a gift. That's what we have. Time has eternity in it. I would like to give a visual. I need two volunteers. Aren't you two guys? I want you to go to each one of the room and keep it tight. We're not chalk lining. There's no chalk in it. But I would like you to visualize with me, this line is eternity, okay? This line is eternity. Now, pretend that he's not there and the wall's not there, and this just goes on and on and on. And same way there, it just goes on and on and on, okay? And we call this eternity. Now, I have a clothespin here, and I'm going to put it right here, okay? Now, that's time. Now, remember, this thing goes on and on and on. Now, when I say time, this is Genesis to when the Lord comes. That time. That's the time I'm talking about. If you can just get a little bit of a grasp of understanding that we are in this grain somewhere, and what you're doing is going to affect where you end up. Thank you. You can crank that up. Thank you. And with that in mind, I'm really hoping you can realize, thank you, why it's so important for the choices you make. I was working with a young fellow here recently, and it grieves me because he was sick, and it was a Monday. And I said to him, why are you sick? You should have got your sleep over the weekend. Well, he said he was hanging out with some guys till 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, what were you doing? Oh, went to Sheets, we did this and did that, and watched some movies and whatnot. And I said to him, why? Well, it was fun. I told him right there, he was in bed having a hangover or whatever it is. And I said to him, life is full of choices. I said, enjoy your choices. You just made a choice to do this. And why I'm saying that is that every one of us have choices to make every day. And your choices have consequences. And you're filling up your time. I like to speak to the parents. And I have an acronym for time. I'm not going to put it on the board, but you can write this down because this is very important as parents with children. Time. What you need to do in time with your children is T, is talk to your children. Take time to talk to your children. God has blessed us with 10 children, 9 living. And we have 3 daughters. And our one daughter invited a girl over from out of state. I won't even tell you the state because you might try and figure out where it was. But anyway, she was there for the weekend. And that evening, I'm not even sure how it was, but we were sitting around and we were talking and we were just sharing the news of the day or whatever it was. I think she might have been in for a wedding. But anyway, we had a good time. My daughter told me after the weekend, this girl asked her afterwards, she said, do you always talk like that? Do you always share like that? And my daughter said, yeah. I mean, that's our life. We love to know what each other is doing. And she made this sad statement. She said, we never do that in our home. So I would tell you, make sure as parents, you talk to your children. Communicate with them. When we were going through some hard times, I came to this thought, and that is the first step of love is to listen to your children. Listen to your children. But it includes the talking. Second thing, the next thing you need to make sure you do is you instruct your children. Instruct them to be reverent, respectful, and reasonable, responsible. Just help them. You need to instruct them. M, what you need to do is you need to monitor your children. When I say monitor your children, you want to know who their friends are. You want to know what books they're reading. You know what? You want to know what songs they're singing. Those are very critical aspects to the outcome of your child, because those are influences into your child's life, and you need to monitor that. Otherwise, if you don't, they'll end up somewhere where you wish they never were. That's what's going to happen. And E, this is one thing that I felt like I probably didn't do enough of, and that is encourage your children. Encourage your children. Because Satan would like to depress your children. Satan would like to deceive your children. Satan would like to put doubts in your children. So we need to be there to help encourage them to do what's right. Encourage them to seek the Lord. Encourage them to lift themselves to God and ask God for help. Because we in ourselves are only sinners saved by grace, even as parents. We're only sinners saved by grace. And we have to keep, like we said at the beginning, let's be humble, let's be honest. And our children, when they see that, it'll be an asset to them. Now for everyone, I have some questions. And that is, in this portion of scripture, we said, redeeming the time. Are you redeeming your time? Are you redeeming your time? The question I like to ask is, am I experiencing a real prayer life? Am I taking time for prayer? Am I experiencing this relationship with God that God wants me to have? Am I having that relationship? Am I spending time in prayer? What we heard in the devotional, Jesus went to a mountain and he prayed. He was walking in the water between 3 and 6, but he was praying. He was talking to his Father. And that relationship brings peace. It actually brings power into our lives, because God is with us. And it's not what we have done, it's what God has done. The other question I have is, what am I spending time in as far as my reading material? Am I meditating on God's word? In Psalms 1, it says, he meditates day and night on the word of God. Am I? Am I redeeming this time? And last but not least, am I using time the way God wants me to use it to glorify him? Am I telling other people about Jesus Christ? Am I being vibrant for God? My prayer is that Harmony can live up to their name and the acronym that I shared, and that we use this time, because it's temporal, it is important, it's marvelous, and it has eternity in it. And when we put in perspective of where we are in that clothespin, time is short. I would like to read another portion of scripture here in 1 Thessalonians. I'd like to begin reading chapter 5. It says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I run into you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and of a helmet the hope of salvation. My dear brothers and sisters, we need God in our lives. We need to take time for God. And it says here, ye are children of light. My acronym for light is we are living in God's holy truth. You need to live it out. Otherwise, the world will not know God. Let's stand again for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time you have given to us. And we pray, Father, you might give us wisdom and strength and courage to use this time in a way that would glorify you. We pray, Father, you might bless this congregation. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with your spirit so that they can be a witness, a light, and a salt to the communities they're in. We ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen.